I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Well, 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 Zarin Burnett.
What's up, Elizabeth Dutton? I missed you. How you been?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Good to hear it.
You know what's ridiculous?
Oh, girl, do I.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so Chuck Berry, the rock and roll legend, he once performed so poorly at a show that it was considered a crime. Yeah, in 2013, the rock and roll legend was in Finland for a show, but he did such a piss poor job that the crowd took legal action. Now, when I say legal action, what I mean is under Finnish law, you can basically get your money back. If a crowd deems that the performance was subpar, the mm-hmm. concert promoters are on the hook. They legally are required to give back 50% of the money spent on the ticket. So basically, if you go to a show in Finland, you're only in it for half.
Yeah.
You can always be like, nope, this was bad, I'm out. And so
a large part
of the crowd did
what
to Chuck Berry. I don't know.
Well, that is ridiculous. Yeah. You want to know what else is ridiculous?
Oh, I always do.
A fire chief / low-level drug dealer who wears rose-colored glasses.
Oh, wait, all at once? Mm-hmm. This is all one person?
All at once.
I like this.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast, did you know that, about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free
and
100% ridiculous. All right. I've said before that I've never been to Florida.
And we've talked about correcting that.
Yeah. One place I would like to eventually see there is Key West.
It's dope. The southernmost point of America.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm not like a big Ernest Hemingway fan in any way, shape, or form. So that's not the attraction.
The house is cool, though. It has a bunch of cats.
That's what I'm saying. It seemed... Oh, his house?
Yeah. Whatever. It has a bunch of cats. No, you would like the cats.
very... Anyway. It seems just like an interesting place.
Key West
yeah. does. I like spaces at the edge of continents.
Yes. The sand. Shifting edge of a continent.
Yeah, like the fringe invites fringe characters.
Ooh, yeah,
you know?
Good point.
From what I understand, Key West is full of absolute characters.
Yes, yeah. I can confirm.
Have you ever been there?
A bunch. I went there as a kid and loved it because the way, like, when you're a kid, you look and you see adults acting like a spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is amazing. Can we come back here? And I just loved it because you have to go for a really long time. If you're driving from Georgia, you have to go all the way down through Florida. And then when you get to the end of Florida, you get to Miami. You think that's really close. Then you have to drive through all of the Keys. You're over these little low bridges. And as a kid, you're like, is this road ever going to end?
Yeah.
And then when it finally does end, you're in Key West, which which is like an amusement park for adults.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I really do.
I love that. So I got a tip about today's story from a gentleman named Christopher over on Instagram. I'm going to tell you the story of a man with terrible fashion sense, horrible criminal instincts, and perhaps one of the most unfortunate names you've ever heard.
I was thinking that this was me you were talking about until you got to the most unfortunate name.
You have a beautiful name.
Yeah.
I need you to picture it.
Oh.
I need you to close your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
It's September 9th, 1975, Key West, Florida. It's morning time. You're out jogging in your short shorts, Zarin.
As one does.
You're just living your best life. I think you're probably jogging topless.
As one does.
You know, as an aside, I feel like men hung out in public with no shirts on, or as I like to say, topless, more often in the 70s.
Even into the 80s. That's when they got the half shirt. That's when it started. They're like, let's put on.
Like, we'll just get halfway. Well, they do like yard work, exercise, grilling, walking around a county fair, topless.
Going for a job interview.
Washing the car. Yeah. So anyway, there you are, jogging topless down United Street in Key West.
Late for a job interview.
It's a residential street lined with palm trees and modest mid-century bungalows in sort of muted neutrals and pastels.
Oh, yes.
As you'd
expect. A lot of salmon-colored things.
Mm-hmm. You stop to tie your shoe, and you see a man exiting his house. The house is pink, salmon-colored, which isn't uncommon. You see into the house through the open front door, and you notice that both the walls and the carpet are red.
It's uncommon.
It's a bold choice.
Yeah, very bold.
Gold mirrors hang on the wall. The man, he's wearing a red leisure suit.
So just replete with what one might say bold choices.
It is so delightfully bold. His neck, wrists, hands dripping in gold and little tiny gems. And he's wearing glasses. The lens
is
pink.
Oh, man.
Literal rose-colored glasses on this guy. So like this outfit, he's just heat radiating off of him.
My new hero. Yeah, go on.
You know who this dude is, topless jogger Zarin. Everyone in town knows who this guy is. He's the fire chief.
Naturally.
Dressed like a fire hydrant. He walks out to the street to get into his car. The car isn't red. It's bright green. It's a bright green Cadillac Eldorado.
Okay. That's a big car.
It has official city plates. It's a city vehicle.
It's a city Eldorado.
Yeah. And there are two stickers on the trunk.
Oh,
one
God.
Is the seal of the Key West Fire Department.
Okay. Keep it real.
Right next to it is an image of Santa Barbara. St. Barbara, the patron saint of firefighters.
I was going to ask. Barb. Thank you. Barb.
Painted in red on the car, El Jefe. I'm serious. El Jefe, the chief. He's amazing.
Yes,
this
he
guy,
is.
This cat's amazing. So just as he's getting into his car, two cars come like screaming down the road from down the block. They screech to a halt, and they're on either end. He can't move this Cadillac.
It's a big car.
Yeah.
He needs room to move.
Federal agents, besuited federal agents jump out of the car, and they tell him, like, freeze. He's startled, the man in the rose-colored glasses. He starts fumbling around with his hands, and he pulls off a diamond-encrusted pinky ring and throws it at the guys.
Wait, what?
Just throws it.
That's his protest?
You can't see me fumbling. I'm doing a version
nice
of it.
Nice pantomime, by the way.
I am. So then he throws the pinky ring, and then he turns and runs. But he's immediately tackled and cuffed by the agents.
So he's using that as a distraction?
Yeah.
Okay.
You, Zarin, have just witnessed the arrest of none other than Bum Farto.
Get out. No, that's not his name. His name is not Bum
the
Farto.
The man's name is Bum Farto.
Did he change it? His mama named him Bum Farto?
Well, let me back up a bit and I can explain this exquisite creature.
Okay.
So Joseph Farto was born in Key West in 1919 to Spanish immigrants.
All right.
The Fartos. And a lot of times people with this last name would amend it to Fardo or Pardo in order to kind of blend. The Fartos are like, we own this.
They're proud.
They're tooting it up. His parents, they're tooting their own Farto horn.
They're not trying to make a big stink about the weird name.
No, not at all. The parents owned a fancy restaurant in town.
Uh-huh.
And but they later fell on hard times and they had to sell the place.
Oh.
Now, who bought it? fella named Joe Russell.
Oh, should I know him?
No.
Is he famous?
He sold illegal booze to Ernest Hemingway and his cats during Prohibition, and they became friends.
Oh, that's one
chummy.
Does.
He bought the Fardo restaurant. Well, it was called the Victoria restaurant is what they named it.
Okay.
But he bought it from the Fardos at the corner of Duval and Green.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved his bar called Sloppy Joe's into that spot.
Yes.
Right. Apparently it's a quite famous place.
It is. Yes.
I've not been there. I'm going to take everyone's word for it.
Yeah, that's iconic.
Another reason to go. So
you can go Don Lemon on New Year's.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What's the sushi where they get in this shoe and it descends in the high heel pump
the high
at
heel
Key
pump.
West?
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically what I know of Key West, which looks like pretty exciting.
It is. That's the best version of Key West.
Yeah. And they always, the CNN correspondents at New Year's Eve, what we're talking about is like the it's a high heel shoe, right?
Yeah. Instead of the ball dropping like in New York, it's a high heel.
Yeah. And it's a drag queen named Sushi who sits in it. And the CNN correspondents just get lit. They just are trashed.
Yeah, they do their best impressions of liquor bottles.
I love that. As someone who doesn't drink, I like watching
them. I like to watch.
So young Joe Fardo, he used to hang out at a fire station by his house, which was, they lived kind of like right behind this fire station.
Sure.
And he would just pester the firefighters. He was firefighter obsessed, as kids are.
It's like John Wayne. That's how he got his name, Duke.
Really?
Or his nickname, too, because the name of the fire dog in his hometown.
Well, that's, this is how Ms. Little Fardo picked up his name.
Really? Firefighters just issuing out cool nicknames.
They are. I'm going to go hang out at a firehouse and see what they come up with.
Me too.
I'm kind of scared what they would come up with me.
Walk away with a mustache and a cool nickname.
Short shorts. So he would, little Joe Fardo, he'd be asking these firefighters, can I like hang out on your truck? Can I go for a ride with you? He'd ask them for money. Like, can I get some change to go buy candy? He'd ask them for candy. He's just always underfoot, Captain Underfoot. The firefighters started calling, like, get out of here, you bum.
Mm-hmm.
So then they started calling him Bum. And that's how he picked up this name, Bum.
He just started using it.
Everyone
introduced himself.
Yeah.
Goes to sixth grade class. I'm Bum Fardo.
The nickname stuck. They're like, oh, there goes
right.
Bum. Well, here's the thing. Bum Fardo, at the age of 23, he becomes a volunteer firefighter. He gets in the door.
Well, you earn their respect.
It
took him a while.
He did a couple jobs beforehand. I think he was like, he had something to do with driving a hearse or something. Whatever.
Oh.
Anyway, so he becomes a volunteer firefighter. 18 years later, in 1964, he's fire chief. He works his way up.
Look at that. Work that ladder.
He knew how to schmooze it. People loved him.
Bum Fardo.
Yeah. Bum Fardo. Come on now. And he did a lot of really good things as fire chief. He busted, had like this arson ring. Like, I don't think they were connected, but there were all these arsons going on, and he managed to bust them all.
He busted the arsonist.
Somehow.
Nice.
And he modernized the department. He got him really good equipment.
Okay.
He did fire prevention training in town. He boosted morale. He recognized service of the fellow firefighters.
Yeah.
And the fire department was absolutely life to him. It was everything.
Mm-hmm.
So people loved his dedication. They also loved his crazy style.
Yeah, he fit in. He's very Key West.
Mm-hmm. When I described him, he was wearing all red, right?
Yeah.
That was an everyday thing for him. It wasn't just, that day that he got busted.
Yes.
He pretty much wore red or another really bright color.
Mm-hmm.
Never wore black.
Okay.
Wouldn't wear it.
I respect it.
His whole house decorated in red, and he wore all this gold jewelry.
Is it fire engine red, or is he doing different tones?
Yeah, no, it's like a deep fire engine red. He's wearing all this gold jewelry. His badge, he had his badge gold-plated and, like, encrusted with gems.
What?
Yeah,
why not? He had a gem-encrusted shield?
Yeah, fire department is life, baby. Why did he wear red? Spiritual protection.
Oh, naturally.
Of course.
Santa Barbara.
You see, Bum Fardo is a practitioner of Santeria.
I was close.
You were close with Santa Barbara. So Santeria, as you know, Santeria is a religion belief system originated in Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Not practiced by Bradley Hull of Sublime.
No, not at all. Doesn't have a crystal ball. It's a blend of Yoruba beliefs from West Africa, Catholicism, indigenous beliefs and practices, and spiritism from Europe in the 1800s. There are many spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And they're spun mainly from the Yoruba religion, but they each get tied to a Roman Catholic saint.
Yeah.
And there's a creator deity, and the spirits and saints are all in service of this force, Olodumare.
Yep.
And practitioners make altars. They give offerings to the spirits, to the supreme force, primarily Afro-Caribbean, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bomfardo was of Spanish ancestry, but I think because of the proximity to Cuba and the Cubans kind of gave him entry into this belief system.
Okay.
So we're talking about Santa Barbara. He had the Santa Barbara sticker. Mm-hmm. In Santeria, Santa Barbara is known as Chungo.
Yes.
The fire spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big fan.
So, as an arsonist, you're a big fan.
As a child arsonist.
So another thing that Bomfardo was passionate about was baseball.
Of course. You know, it was fire and baseball. Mm-hmm. It's two great tastes.
And he managed to blend Santeria and baseball really effectively.
How does one do that?
Well, he managed a little league team.
Well, I'm thinking of that movie Major League Baseball where they have the guy who practices
Jobu.
Santa, Jobu?
Yeah.
Yeah, F you, Jobu.
They say, up your butt, Jobu.
Yeah. That's
the other guy. Major League is such a good movie, and Jobu plays a very important role.
So that's what I'm picturing right now when you talk
there
about
it
this.
Is
Dennis Haysbert in a Cleveland uniform.
Before he became president in 24. So, and sold me insurance. So he managed, Bomfardo managed a Little League team, and according to a bunch of different reports that I read, he would often light a red candle and place it on the bumper of El Jefe Mobile during games to try and get the spirits to, like, guide the team to a win.
Yes, that's very Florida.
That's so amazing. So you hear the descriptions of this guy, you have to think, maybe he's a little shady? Yeah. I don't know, we're just
he's
a character.
He's bright, but yet somehow shady.
He's a little shady. He's much beloved in town, but he's also involved with some criminal elements, bad practices.
Not Bomfardo.
Bomfardo. Why? November 1968. So 4 years after he became fire chief, he was suspended on charges that he forged the signature of another firefighter on a check.
Oh.
Yeah. And that he forced those working under him to take out personal loans on his behalf. And that he took other people's per diems for himself.
Yikes.
Yeah. And then he just generally, like, fudged the payroll books.
It's like, look, I'm not good with math.
He's, you know,
I can't read my writing sometimes.
The spirits told him.
Is it an 8? Is it a 9? Who cares?
So he gets brought up in front of the city's civil service board.
Okay.
And the board hears the case, and they're just like, nah, whatever,
it's
go.
It's Bomfardo. It's fine.
It's a Bomfardo. And I'm only going to say his name full. It's like David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
You can only say Mr. David Lee Roth.
Yes.
You can't just call him Dave or Lee Roth.
Mr. Lee Roth.
This is always Bomfardo. So the board is like, Bomfardo, whatever. Just you do you, baby.
Yeah.
And the evidence against him was really clear. And some people were a little surprised that the whole thing went away. But actually, most people weren't surprised. There were some, but most weren't surprised because the head of the board was a man named Waldo Veliz. Waldo Veliz was Bomfardo's nephew.
Boom, 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 and ding, ding, ding. I think we just found the explanation.
Bum, 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 and a fart, a fart, a fart. So the phony check incident isn't what got him arrested in your imagination exercise, Aaron.
Oh, what was it?
That went down in 1975.
Right. I was doing the disco check.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you're in the short shorts, strutting your stuff. When we come back from this break, I'm going to let you know what Bomfardo did to get tackled by the cops at 8 in the morning in front of his own house.
Please do.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals, too. I don't have to worry, because SimpliSafe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. SimpliSafe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so before I was so rudely interrupted,
capitalism!
I was telling you about Bum Fardo.
Yes, you were.
And he was the fire chief in Key West, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Key West had been a vital outpost for the U.S. Navy in the 50s and early 60s.
Yes, totally.
Right. Close to Cuba is the whole 90-mile thing. And therefore, because it's close to Cuba, it's by extension close to the Soviets, as the closest we could get. By the mid-60s, the Navy started to pull out, and they took a huge part of the economy with them.
Yeah.
Yep. What business was really starting to expand in the 60s?
Drug dealing?
There you go.
Oh, was I serious?
Totally,
I got it. Totally. I was just going with what I know that was
plastics
expanding. Plastics
and drugs. People couldn't live on fishing alone, because that's like a huge thing is the fishing there.
Definitely. Great fishing.
Yeah. And
so, fishing tours, all the whole industry of tourism around it.
Exactly.
It wasn't just like they're going out and catching fish and feeding America.
You can't really survive on that the way they had been.
It's mercurial. You have to wait. Bad weather can doom you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they got all these boats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put them to use.
Oh, and you know that what they happen to be close to?
Drugs. Las Drugas. So drugs are everywhere. Like,
yes,
literally,
are.
You're wading through cocaine. It's like snowdrifts on the city streets.
Is that dandruff? No, that's cocaine.
It's cocaine. Bum Fardo knows everybody, right? And he's not averse to stepping outside of the law, as we've learned,
yes,
with his check issues. He's actually really cozy with the Tampa Mafia.
The Tampa Mafia sounds like...
I know, doesn't it sound like I'm making fun of... No, but they're...
Michelle plays like sunburns, short sleeves, and like broken noses, you know?
And broken dreams. The Tampa Mafia was a real thing, and he was close with the mob boss, Santo Traficante.
Oh, the Traficante family?
Uh-huh.
They're legit.
Okay, so you were making fun.
Oh, yeah, no, they're legit. The
Say
Traficante
it to their faces.
Family. No, no,
Say
I will
it
not.
Say to their faces.
No.
So corruption is absolutely rampant, as you can probably guess. Drug trade, booming,
uh-huh.
big biz. One detective at the time noted that buying drugs in Key West was, quote, as easy as walking in and ordering a meal, and cocaine was as common as key lime pie.
But what was the price?
They made like a froth of cocaine for the top of the key lime pie to blend into the meringue.
The kids love the cocaine.
Oh, yeah. So one day, a local man named Titus Walters comes to Bum Fardo.
Mm-hmm.
Titus had with him a man he said was his cousin named Larry Dollar.
That is not his real name.
It is, though. That's what's so wild.
Really?
Yeah. So
oh,
Larry Dollar. Larry.
Larry Dollar asks, and Bum Fardo walk into a bar.
He asks his new pal. Well, he goes up to Bum Fardo and he's like, Bum, can I score some coke from you?
Just asks him.
Just, hey.
He's like, look, you're the local fire chief.
How you doing? Weather, it's a little humid. Can I score some coke?
Love the glasses, and I'm betting you know where I get some cocaine.
Sure, says Bum Fardo. Let me talk to my friend Manny James.
These
Manny
names.
James? Why, the stepson of Police Chief Winston James?
Yes.
The very same. You mean City Attorney Manny James? Yeah, that one. Oh, the Manny James who was also defense counsel for a bunch of drug runners, that Manny James?
Yes, you know him.
Yeah.
With the good cocaine.
Larry Dollar's all about it.
Yes.
He's like, you know what? Yes. He gives Bum Fardo a gold and diamond pinky ring as payment for a couple ounces of coke.
Wow.
On the spot. The problem was that Manny James was on vacation in the Bahamas and Bum Fardo couldn't get a hold of him. So Manny James is the plug,
yeah.
as you'd say.
Uh-huh.
And Bum Fardo calls him up. Sorry, no, he's out. He's at Sandals.
Yeah.
You know, he can't come back to you. He's learning how to play the steel drum. So he's trying to get a hold of Manny, can't get him. Larry Dollar, you know, would call and be like, so where's my blow? And Bum
Fardo. I got a big party this weekend.
Yeah. He's like, I need to clear my sinuses. Bum Fardo was like, you know, I'm just, hold on. Give me a little time. I'm still working on it. Bum Fardo, stalling. A couple weeks go by.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And Larry Dollar had had enough.
He's like, I need my coke, man.
Yeah. He's like, I'm an addict. I need the cocaine.
The one problem with being a cocaine dealer is you have to deal with people who are cocaine users.
I would imagine. So he and Bum Fardo meet up at the fire station mm-hmm. where all the good drug deals go down.
Naturally, that's just the spot.
It's right next to City Hall, so
yeah.
it's super convenient.
And probably close to the cops. So.
Yeah. Bum Fardo tells Larry Dollar, look, I am so sorry I don't have your coke. And as like a courtesy, as kind of like a fun thing I'm going to do for you, have this bag of weed to hold you over.
That's an odd choice.
Like
I know you want a cocaine.
Please enjoy this complimentary sachet of marijuana
mm-hmm.
in lieu of the cocaine to be delivered later.
I promised you a bottle of liquor. Here's some Quaaludes.
He's like, I told you I can get you drugs.
Yeah, like drugs are drugs.
Here's some drugs. And so, you know.
Do you want the drogas or not?
Larry Dollar's like, all right, I'll take this weed. I'll take this smoke. They're using all like I'll take the cabbage, all the terms.
That good jazz cabbage.
He's like, yeah, this sticky broccoli will do for me right now. And then they're just all rolling their eyes at each other.
He actually coined the term the sticky icky.
He did.
Yeah,
Larry Dollar and the sticky icky. So Bum Fardo, he finally gets in touch with Manny James. And he's like, I need Tudor powder and I need it now. And so he gets it. And Bum Fardo gets in touch with Larry Dollar. Meet me at the fire station.
Yes.
The drug spot. So Bum Fardo brings a little taste of the yayo for Dollar,
mm-hmm.
right? Dollar is impressed. He's like, this stuff's really good. This is high quality. What is this? Like,
is he like doing like the rub it on his teeth?
Probably.
Move?
Okay. Oh yeah. He probably like took a Swiss Army knife and stuck it in like
the, yeah, cut the kilo like he's on like
a
top
show. But
it's
like a baggie. He rubs it on his gums. They agree to meet one more time 2 days later to finish the deal. So Bum Fardo just lets him like taste it.
Oh.
Give it a little sniff. And he's like, oh yeah, this is really good. He's like, all right, well, meet me back here at the firehouse in 2 days. I don't get it. Now, the full amount of coke mm-hmm. for the diamond pinky ring was the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Deal goes down. Everyone's happy. Larry Dollar is especially happy because Larry Dollar is actually DEA agent Larry Dollar.
Still his real name, though.
Yeah. And
okay.
He's part of Operation Conk.
Oh, wow.
Operation Conch was a joint effort between the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and the Dade County Organized Crime Bureau, DEA up in there too, okay, obviously. So a conch, you know, it looks like conch written out, but the pronunciation is conch.
Mm-hmm.
A marine mollusk.
Yeah, the big, beautiful shell.
Yeah, those really gorgeous.
The Nautilus shell most people think of.
And it's native to Key West.
Yeah.
That's why they gave it the name Operation Conch.
My family's a bunch of shell seekers, so we used to go to those beaches for those shells.
I like doing some beach combing myself.
Yeah, but I like how the military, or in this case, the DEA, when they name an operation, it's always like they're like two steps below the people who name paint. You know, it's like, oh, people named Pants are like, they're hungry. And they're like, oh, this is going to be Banana Loaf. And then that's the name of the paint company. The military, it's like, what's my first word association?
Right. And sometimes they try and like tint it with something really tough.
Yeah.
Like, you
Operation
know,
Condor.
Yeah. Like Buff Eagle or something. Yeah. And then, or it's kind of silly, like Operation Rudy Tootie. You know, you're just like, what? Oh.
Operation Rudy Tootie, fresh and fruity.
Because they're going to bust them at, what was that, a Denny's?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I think that I should be hired to name all the operations.
And I want to name paint. So okay. Between well, then, the two of us, we got
to I'm just putting it out there, everybody. I'm going to go on LinkedIn and let everyone know I'm available. Is that how LinkedIn works? It has something to do with
LinkedIn?
Jobs. I don't know. So we've got Operation Conch. Mm-hmm. For over a year, they'd been tracking a drug smuggling network in Key West that operated right under the coked up noses of local law enforcement.
Okay.
So
coked up noses.
Now, because of this and the understood corruption in Key West, the task force didn't tell the sheriff, didn't tell the police chief, didn't tell Manny, the city attorney, about the operations or the impending raid. Good, because the police chief is the father of the city attorney, who himself is the coke supplier.
Yeah.
So they knew. They knew they were doing a good thing here. Now, the goal of the whole thing was to clean up the city. They had their eyes on this group of dudes, a special group of them. Now, when they figured they had enough to take everyone down, they organized what they referred to as handcuff day. Cuffing season.
Bring your kids to work day, followed by handcuff day.
Well, in prep for it, they bring in this task force, a huge strike force from out of town.
Special jackets, the whole bit.
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing, though, is that like if you've got this whole group of physically fit men and they're coming into town and they have to get hotel rooms and rent cars. And for some reason, they didn't think they could just rent the rooms and just do their thing. They had to come up with a cover story.
Because they were worried that the town being so small, people would be like aware of them.
Yeah, like what are all these guys doing here? And instead of being like, mind your own business,
that's probably a smart move, actually.
Yeah, so they call up. They're like, hey, I need like 16 rooms. Sure. And then I'm also going to need 16 unmarked, cars. And so the rooms, two men per room. And they're like, oh, well, so what are you guys doing here? He's like, karate tournament.
In
Key West.
Like, it's just going to be somewhere else in Key West.
Somewhere.
You haven't heard about it.
It's a secret karate tournament.
It's going down to Keith's place.
It's on the beach. It's like the scene from Karate Kid where he's like doing the crane thing on the beach. It's just like 30 dudes lined up doing that.
All with short haircuts, wearing short sleeve shirts and a tie.
Topless. Hello.
Wait, these are DEA people. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. When you're talking about a tie, so this karate tournament shows up and they're all in suits.
Yeah, exactly.
Like total black suits.
And at that time, the FBI agents always kind of look like FBI agents. At
clean
that time,
cut.
Really, they look like it.
Oh, yeah. So they got all these guys that show up in suits for their karate tournament with weapons, I guess. It's the shotgun karate tournament. And then they rent all these cars. Uh-huh. And so somehow they're able to keep this. Everyone bought the karate story.
Did they put
story.
An ad in the local Key West newspaper, like announcing like there's going to be this big karate thing?
See, now, if they had me on staff, I'm all about logistics and details.
Yeah,
so I'd be like, you guys, you can't go down there and let me just take out an ad and then I'll put it as like a day that doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's on like Saturday the 11th that we're going to have this karate tournament.
It's going to be at the Ramada room.
An address that doesn't exist. Yeah. It's kind of like on Law and Order when they have the address of the like that they go to when they put it on the screen. Most of them, if you look at it, I've been told, I haven't done it myself, that it's like in the middle of the river. It's not a real address.
Oh, so you like couldn't use it on like your direction.
So. Yeah. So if the street, if like 8th Street only goes up to the 1500 block, you say you're in the 2000 block.
Okay. So it's the equivalent of 555.
Yeah.
283.
Totally.
Being the phone number for or whatever.
Totally.
I'll start with
555. So that's what they should have done, but they got away with it. So I'll allow it. So they show up at all the hotels the morning of September 9th, 1975, 30 federal agents got into unmarked cars and proceeded to spend the next 5 hours or so arresting 19 dudes.
What about their karate?
They had to put, that's at nighttime. It's night karate.
Night karate.
They're like, we're here for the night karate tournament. The first guy they get, Bum Fardo.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Respect. You know, start at the top. Get the chief, work your way down.
You remember what he did when the agents jumped out of the unmarked car to arrest him, right?
Yeah, he threw the evidence, apparently, at them.
Well, he pulls off the diamond pinky ring that Larry Dollar gave him.
The thing is, I'm assuming that's like, oh, I don't have it anymore.
I think, he figured if I give it back, then it's a refund. There wasn't a sale.
No deal.
Just take it.
Give backs.
He loved the pinky ring, though. It totally fit his style. So he lost, you know? So while he was certainly the absolute flashiest, he was also the very bottom rung of this operation. He was super, super small time.
Oh, chief was not in charge.
No, they started at the bottom and then worked their way up arrest-wise that day.
Okay.
So they bust him on the weed and coke sales.
All right.
And then they also, when they raided his house, they found a couple sawed-off shotguns.
Yeah.
So they got him on that.
Okay. Sawed-off shotguns.
Yeah. So Bum Fardo and the other arrestees were all bailed out by this guy who was also arrested.
Mm-hmm.
The bail bondsman was arrested. He posted bail for all of them.
Did he do it from the jail cell?
Yeah. And then Bum Fardo, he turns around, he hires a defense attorney, Manny James, who was also arrested that day. Now, somehow the charges against Manny James get dropped and he never goes to trial. Somehow. But Bum Fardo, his trial is set for February 1976.
Okay. And these are federal cases that he's going to be up. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the night before it's all set to start, Bum Fardo goes to see his family doctor.
Yeah. You know, you want to get right before court.
Well, he tells the doctor, man, I'm in so much pain right now. It hurts.
Where does it hurt?
My tummy. Bum Fardo said his tummy hurt.
Get out. He really did?
He did. He said his stomach was killing him. The doctor later was like, you know, he came in, he looked real pale. He looked bad. Looked in a bad way. And he's like, oh, my tummy. And so the doctor diagnoses him with severe stomach ulcers.
Oh.
Yeah. So, something that I think that Fardo had in the past.
Uh-huh.
But so the doctor.
Did the doctor write on the note he has tummy ulcers?
Yeah,
or did he write like stomach?
He was like bad tum tum and then a frowny face. The doctor diagnoses him with the stomach ulcers. He prescribes really strong, like super strong antacids.
Okay.
And he tells him, you have to be admitted to the hospital. This is really, really bad tummy.
You can bleed out with ulcers.
You got a bad tummy, dude.
Yeah.
He's super understanding and supportive, you know, don't you think? So if your name is Bum Fardo, what hospital do you go to?
Oh, I'm going to not do well at this. I'm going to say the Slappy Pappy Home for Elder and Abandoned Fathers.
That's really close. Bum Fardo was sent to the Depu Hospital.
You're making this stuff up.
No, I'm not.
I don't care what you tell me. You are making this stuff up.
I know I make stuff up all the time.
Hospital?
That's the name of the hospital in Key West. D-E, like capital D, lowercase e, capital P-O-O.
Oh, so it's like French.
It's Depu.
Depu. Or I guess probably more like Spanish.
Yeah, Depu. I am both lauded and derided for what one disgruntled listener termed me as dropping a gross out. I don't think this qualifies. This is just a truthful statement. Now, we're doing it in a very juvenile way.
Yes, Bum Fardo had to be accepted to Depu Hospital for problems with his bad tum-tum.
He's got a bad tum-tum. So there's Bum Fardo sitting in Depu. Why? This is custom. When this happened, were they like, someday this woman, Elizabeth Dutton, is going to tell this story and it's going to delight her? I didn't know I said so much gross stuff until I started doing this show. And it turns out I guess I do.
You learn something new every day, sometimes about yourself.
It's a lot of self-discovery that I'm going through here. So Bum Fardo sitting in Depu. The DA's office sends over a doctor to examine Bum Fardo, and they declared that he didn't have severe ulcers.
Wait a minute.
What? They're like, pop a couple Tums.
for your tum-tum issues.
Your tum-tummies. No reason you can't go to court, my man. So the trial then actually starts. Bumfardo did not testify. Larry Dollar testified. Open and shut case. So much evidence. So the jury takes 30 minutes. And they convict Bumfardo on
They just
one...
wanted a lunch break.
Let's just, yeah, so they're paying for our lunch. Yeah. Let's just get this now. So misdemeanor count, selling the weed. Mm-hmm. Two felony counts for the selling of the coke.
Okay.
And then they were going to do the prosecution's pushing for the maximum sentence.
They didn't go for battery of an officer by throwing a diamond ring at him.
I know. All these enhancements they could have had. They want 31 years for Bumfardo.
For a little bag of coke and some weed?
The one is the 1 year for the weed. But they want 15 years each for the cocaine charges.
Because he's now a distributor?
I suppose.
Damn.
I don't know. 1 week after the trial, and, you know, Bumfardo's awaiting sentencing at this point. Mm-hmm. And he has another weapons charge.
Oh, for the
hanging over the sawed-off shotguns.
Yeah.
So he's waiting on those. That's like in 2 months or something. He tells his wife, he's like, honey, I'm going to drive to Miami and see a friend of mine. I need to get out. I need the air.
Things have been tough lately. You know, they took away all my sawed-off shotguns. I haven't been able to get blow from Manny James. It's been a tough time
Mrs.
for me.
Mrs. Fardo.
Dear Mrs. Fardo.
Big Fardo.
Love of my life, Mrs. Fardo.
Her name is Tiny Fardo. I don't know what her name is.
That one you made up.
So he says, I got to go to Miami to see a friend. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about Bum Fardo's road trip.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet-sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zarin, how are you, you old so-and-so?
Oh, you're still here. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Elizabeth?
I've just been sitting here in the dark. The last time we were together here, I was telling you about Bum Fardo.
Yes, you were.
Mm-hmm. Old Bum Fardo, Key West fire chief, small-time low-level drug dealer.
And fashion plate. Let's
and
be real.
Incredible fashionista. According to the accounts that I've read, it seems like pretty much everyone in town was at least doing some low-level dealing or running. So he wasn't
Key West.
Standout in that way. Kids were selling bricks of hash at lemonade stands. Old ladies had hollowed out copies of Reader's Digest filled with baggies of Coke. You know, small town living. Then there's Bum Fardo, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing these flashy red leisure suits, his rose-colored glasses. We cannot forget that he's wearing these pink-tinted lenses all
the
time.
That's all I've been picturing.
So amazing. Gold for days.
Yes.
These drippins. Selling Coke in the parking lot of the fire station.
I imagine he's the kind of guy who has like a gold bracelet, and then on the gold bracelet is a gold bracelet.
Yes. Gold on gold on gold. Yeah. We heard you like gold bracelets.
Yeah, how about?
Yeah. So can I just take a time out for a second to talk about the hit Fox TV show 911? Can I tell you that Bobby on the hit Fox TV show 911?
Yes, go
he
on.
He may have killed his whole family in a fiery fit of drunken ineptitude. Spoiler alert.
Oh, the firefighter chief, yes.
Yeah, but he would never sell Coke in the parking lot of whatever station number they are that floats all over Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, unless Angela Bassett needed him to sell the Coke, and then he'd be pushing that product like Pablo Escobar.
She would be so disappointed in him. She'd give him that side eye pursed face.
Pursed lips.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. So Bobby wouldn't do that. Bum Fardo, though, he's pushing small weight, gets busted.
He needs an Angela Bassett in his
yeah,
life.
Right. What's up, Mrs. Fardo? Step up. She needs to just drive a police cruiser around and do busting on her own. So anyway, Bum Fardo, back to 911. I went from someone who never watched TV.
Yes.
This is the damage of the
pandemic.
Of the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
That I suddenly started. I was fascinated that this was a hit TV show. I'd never heard of it. And I started watching it. And then I was like, hate watching it. Uh-huh. And now I love it.
Yeah.
What happened to me?
That's what happens with hate watching. It turns into love.
Now, I can't say the same. I still hate watch 9/11 Lone Star, whatever
Lone Star,
the
yeah,
Rob Lowe one.
9/11 Lone Star, yeah.
But that's look at what I've been broken by the pandemic.
Or we can put it another way. Mm-hmm. You were broken. And in your broken places, were filled in with gold.
The gold of 9/11.
Yes.
I'm really bummed that the season just ended. What
Did
am I going
really?
To do over the summer?
I don't even know. Oh. Call me when it's over.
Okay. So back to Bum Fardo.
Mm-hmm.
He's cooling his heels, awaiting his fate. Maybe 31 years. Who's to say?
That's just so outrageous.
Yeah. So he's like, I got to let off some steam. I have to go to Miami.
Yeah.
Bienvenidos a Miami.
Gas
and
up.
See my friend.
Gas up the El Dorado.
Well, the problem is the El Dorado was a city car. The El Jefe mobile.
Right.
He doesn't have a car anymore.
Oh.
It's just sitting in an impound lot, I would imagine. Or they're painting it. Like he's standing there, one tear running down his face as he's watching them paint the car. Put it into the spray coat?
The spray
What's
booth?
It called? Something coat? Anyway, I'm sure someone will send me a message about it. Anyway, so the El Jefe car, not his. So he rents a 1976 Pontiac Le Mans.
Oh, not
which
bad.
Is exactly the car my grandpa had when I was little.
Wow.
A land yacht.
Yes, that's a big, another big
Le Mans.
Car.
Yeah. Yeah. What color do you think the rental was?
Burgundy?
Close, red.
Darn, I was good.
He has to get a red car.
Yeah, I know.
So he tells his wife, look, just going up to Miami. I'll be back tonight. Off he goes. No luggage, just vibes. Heading to Miami.
It's the only way to go to Miami.
Yeah, of course.
Just vibes.
Two weeks go by. no bum fardo.
Ooh.
Now, when I say no bum fardo, it kind of sounds like someone trying to talk about their gastrointestinal distress in like a problematic, insensitive, geographically amorphous, choppy accent. I'm really sorry about that, but no bum fardo. So people are starting to wonder where
he
is.
You sound
like
a pediatrician talking to like a parent who doesn't quite understand. Yeah.
No bum fardo.
If bum fardo, come back
tomorrow. Or you go into the doctor, you're like, what's wrong? No bum fardo. It's been weeks.
I'm backed up, doc. I'm real backed up.
Gross outs, right and left. People are starting to wonder, where's bum fardo? Where's my bum fardo? When asked about it.
Smell you later, Key West.
His wife was asked, like, well, where's bum fardo, mm-hmm. Lady Fardo? Her answer was, it gets me too upset. I don't want to talk about it.
Wait, just mention of her husband?
Yeah. She said, I can't say anything. It gets me too upset.
Okay.
So I love that response.
Yeah,
that's my response for everything from now on.
Can't talk about pizza or sushi? I can't talk about
it. It gets me too upset. No bum fardo. Pretty soon there's a manhunt underway. A fardo hunt. The cops are searching all over, high and low, mm-hmm. and they come up empty. In the meanwhile, he gets convicted in absentia on the weapons charges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So 3 weeks after he left, mm-hmm. the Le Mans was found.
Oh.
In Miami on Calle Ocho.
Ah,
8th Street. In Little Havana. There it is. Covered in parking tickets.
Okay.
Just resplendent in parking tickets. And it looked like, based on the dates on the tickets, that he'd been parked there for at least 2 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. Beyond that, though, they had nothing. Law enforcement had no idea where bum fardo went.
So I'm guessing he cut and run and didn't get cut and then disappear. Like, he doesn't know enough to be taken out.
Well,
he's more of a silent but deadly fardo.
His silence was deadly. Everyone else, though, so the cops are like, where's bum fardo? I don't know. Everyone else has ideas, like you.
Yes.
Coming up with ideas. So the Miami Herald, they interviewed a bunch of people in that June of 1976.
Okay.
And they asked them, what do you think? What do you think happened to bum fardo? And these are solid gold, these responses. Okay. I'm going to do dramatic readings.
Please. I was hoping you would.
Yeah. So the first one, Charles Felton, he's a friend of bum fardo's. Mm. And he says, I think bum's alive. I just had that feeling, faith and all that. He's, you know, he's a breezy fellow.
That's how faith works for him.
Yeah. And so then they talk to this local store clerk named Sue Ellen Gibson. Mm. And she says, most people think he was killed because the rest of them got away with it and they're still here. I think he just lost himself somewhere.
Very nice dramatic recreation.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I could hear it.
Thank you so much. I'll accept my awards later. So then we get to Jennifer Smith. She says, he's back living it up in Cuba. He's back anywhere. Who knows? Who cares?
Your girl.
I love that is my who knows? Who cares? I love the phrase who cares so much.
You've taught me to enjoy it.
And
I
love he's back living it up in Cuba. Honey, he never came from Cuba. Like, his family was from Spain. He was born here. He went back to Cuba or whatever. Jennifer, get your act together. Who cares?
Mrs. Smith.
Get out of here. Then we got Tom DeBays, another guy who's interviewed. He says, I think he's wiped out because he knew too much. Probably dumped overboard from some shrimp boat, the old cement shoe thing. Either that or he's in Staten Island.
Okay, so we got a New York transplant in Key West?
Yeah, I guess.
I know how these things go.
Staten Island. First of all, the old cement shoe thing. I want to apologize for all my accents right now, though. I'm not meaning
Oh, those were accents?
I'm like possessed.
Giving you plausible deniability. Go with it. Go
I'm
with
just
it.
Trying to inhabit these characters. I'm just trying to give them a rich life and experience. Okay?
Yeah. No,
all right?
They inhabited me with life.
I feel like everyone's going to get mad at me now accents.
Do you want me to do worse accents? I can take some heat.
You put yourself in the firing line for me too often on these things. So, but yeah, Staten Island. Why Staten Island? Who knows? Who cares, quite frankly?
You're getting good at this.
Yeah. David Johnson, a hotel maintenance and repairman, said, Bumfardo is definitely alive and well and living in Spain.
Mm.
I noticed one time Manny James walked in there with a t-shirt that said, Bum is alive and well in Spain.
Wow.
Right? He's alive and well. Because Manny James, according to David Johnson, is strutting around in a t-shirt that says, Bum is alive and well in Spain.
I get all of my news from novelty t-shirts. If I see it on a t-shirt, that's how I know what's going on in world events. So you're saw the shirt.
You see this guy, it says, if you bought it, a trucker brought it. You're like, well, that's true.
It's true. It's 100% true.
So there are theories floating around about South America, Cuba, Spain, New York, theories that he's dead, theories that he's in witness protection.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, no one knows what happened to him.
Oh.
Who knows? Who cares?
Really?
Yeah, one knows.
He managed to actually disappear.
Gone. Gonzers.
He's a disappearing fardo.
He just vanished.
Just poof, gone.
Just a puff of air. That mystery, though, drove an entire cottage industry for a while there in Key West.
What?
As speculation mounted as to the whereabouts of Bum Fardo, novelty shops in Key West started selling t-shirts that read, Where is Bum Fardo? So t-shirts, once again. June 1976, just a couple months after the disappearance, shops had sold more than 1,000 shirts.
I'm going to add this to my list of novelty shirts that I need to get. I have to have one of these.
Paul Taylor, one of the owners of these novelty shops, said, quote, people sometimes buy 5 or 6 of them at a time, like they're into some kind of group identity trip. It's probably kids who like to do a lot of coke. People have seen the t-shirts as far away as California. And then they get to Key West, they come in and ask for them. They come from New York and they say, listen, we were in Fire Island and people are talking about them. They'd seen them on TV too. Everyone can relate to a bum fardo fire chief who was busted for cocaine and missing. It's kind of like a future Key West folklore.
Everyone can relate to. It's the most relatable thing ever. A fire chief named Bum Fardo who disappeared after a cocaine bust.
I mean, what is more relatable?
How many times have we heard that story? Boy meets girl, boy loses girl. Bum Fardo tries to sell cocaine, disappears. It's a story as old as time.
It's a trope at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a little stale.
The other day, I was watching a Columbo, and they had a Bum Fardo riff that they were doing.
I hope they have it on 911.
I bet they will.
You know, it's just the kids who like to do a lot of coke running the t-shirt business there. So the shirts get super popularized by none other than Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, the parrot head in chief?
Yeah, he was seen wearing one on stage, Mr. Buffet, wearing a shirt.
Can I admit something to you?
Go ahead.
My grandparents sold Jimmy Buffett t-shirts in their store that was named after Key West.
Wow.
Yes. Key West Fragrances in Tampa, or actually it was in Clearwater. They had the store on the beach and they sold Jimmy Buffett t-shirts. And that's how I know who Jimmy Buffett was.
Wait, they sold Jimmy t-shirts to Jimmy Buffett?
No, they sold Jimmy Buffett made t-shirts. And this is like in the 80s. And it would be like a t-shirt from like, Welcome to Margaritaville.
But it's a t-shirt with a picture of him.
A t-shirt, but like with like his artwork. And so it's all like cartoon style 80s.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Okay, so first, I thought they were selling t-shirts to Jimmy Buffett.
No.
Then I thought they were selling t-shirts with photos of Jimmy Buffett screened
face.
On them.
No.
So it's Jimmy Buffett creates t-shirts with his artwork on it.
Yes. Around this time.
That smell like coconut oil.
Yes. And broken pop tops.
Oh, well, apparently, Jimmy Buffett, you're the lifeblood of your grandparents' business. He wrote Bum Fardo into a song lyric.
Oh, okay.
Now, my distaste for Mr. Buffett prohibited me from looking up that lyric.
Wait, you don't like Jimmy Buffett? Are we going to have a moment here?
Who knows? Who cares? Yeah, no, I can't stand him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Loathe.
Let me cancel that playlist.
I just can't take it. But I'll tell you, like, a strong Jimmy Buffett memory I have is that when I was little, like young, maybe like 10, our neighbors across the street had their friends over and they were all going to go to a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Okay.
And they were tying one on in the afternoon. And one
very
of the,
Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah. And the friends are like middle-aged, right?
Oh, yeah. They're
the whole it's like the kids across the street, their parents.
Okay.
And so the lady there, the friend was sitting, like I'm riding my bike and she's in the driveway drinking with all her friends. And I was supposed to like water their plants or something while they were out getting hammered at the Jimmy Buffett
pre-gaming
concert.
For Jimmy Buffett, yeah.
And the lady, I don't know her. And she says to me, she was like, come here. And I go up to her and she's
I know
like,
I won't buy you cigarettes,
she's
ma'am.
Got like, well, she's got like a Virginia Slim hanging out of her mouth. And she goes, you know, I got to tell you something. You know what the best cure for a hangover is? And I'm just like, yeah. And I'm flatlining, staring at her. She's like, a tuna sandwich, French fries, and a chocolate milkshake. But you got to dip the fries in the milkshake. But it's got to be a tuna sandwich.
She's telling you this.
I am a very polite person no matter what I think about them. Like, I can't help myself. I didn't say a word. I just turned, got on my bike, and rode away. And so
I hope this adult remembers that story too.
I don't think she remembers
yeah,
much.
I don't think so.
And so anytime I hear about Jimmy Buffett, I think of that. And then I start thinking about tuna sandwiches and I'm like, you know what? I like tuna sandwiches. Don't really like Jimmy Buffett.
Have you ever dipped the fries in the shake though?
No.
I've got friends who swear by that.
I bet.
I also have friends who swear by Jimmy Buffett. So don't
so
listen to
them.
There
you go. Anyway, who knows who cares to quote Jennifer Smith. What Zarin is your ridiculous takeaway here?
Oh, man.
In this wealth of ridiculousness that we've waded through like the drifts of cocaine on the streets of Key West.
Mm-hmm. I would say my ridiculous takeaway is if you're named Bum Farto and you have a wife and she's willing to take your last name, treat her right or... When you disappear, she will not care and not want to talk about it.
I think if you're named Bum Farto, that is a promise you're making to the world, and
yes.
you have to come through.
You got
to
live up on that.
He came through.
Oh, he very, very much did. As somebody with a strange name, he's up in the pantheon of strange name people.
He's fulfilling the contract.
Yeah, no, definitely.
The social contract with the crazy name. I know I've said this a lot lately, but you got to love a good character.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, wacky characters in authentic ways.
Yes. Now, not trying hard. They just are that.
Yeah. Because, like, I feel like right now we get a lot of people who are being quirky or eccentric mm-hmm. in kind of a put-on way. Mm-hmm. It's intentional and precious.
Yeah, it's theatrical and performative, and it's meant for you, not for them.
Right. I like people who are just strange and they can't help it.
Yes.
Who knows who cares, right? And they're not apologetic about it, but they're also not trying to, like, get attention. And, mm-hmm. yeah. So, wearing red... Having an all red house.
Yes.
That's really rad and weird. I like it. The man's name Bum Farto. He didn't care.
No,
he could have changed his name. No, he didn't give a damn.
It.
I like that kind of organic weirdness. True presentation of goofy.
You could say it gasses you up.
Well, and it's it's so steamy. Quirky behavior and lifestyles now are too attached to pre-manufactured and commercial things.
Yes, completely.
That's my statement, my takeaway. A book series or a film franchise isn't a personality. I'm going off into my own screed right
You're
now.
Going hard in the paint on this
yeah.
one, huh?
But that's like, doesn't make you an outsider. That's a mainstream thing. An outsider is Bum Farto, dressed in red, selling coke at a fire station.
To the city attorney.
Fulfilling the prophecy of his name.
That he got from the city attorney.
Yeah, exactly. Get back to me when you're named for a bodily function and you flex on spirits at a Little League game. Just bring it. Bring it, Bum Farto. That's my takeaway.
I like that he's willing to ask for the protection of the spirits for Little League. Not for like the national game. Not for like, this local team.
It's
like,
the
winning.
Purity, the pure
he's
essence
like,
of the sport.
The kids, they know. They
kids.
Need to know.
Exactly.
The spirits have their back.
That's all I have. I'm all.
Well, that was good.
Bum
my cup is
out.
Full. Like
your cup overfloweth with Bum Farto. That's it. You can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. If you have a tip for us about a ridiculous crime, confession, email us ridiculouscrime@gmail.com, and then tune in next time. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett, produced and edited by undercover parrothead Dave Kustin. Research is by senior arson investigator Marissa Brown. The theme song is by Sawed Off Shotgun Smithies, Thomas Lee, and Travis Dutton. Executive producers are Key Lime Pie aficionados Ben Bolin and Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.